Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife and co-host, Grace Garcia.
Yes, I am.
I don't even know what episode this is. It's been a couple of weeks since we've filmed an episode, and it's been exactly 2 weeks, actually, since we've filmed, I guess, two or three.
It's three.
And I'll tell you why it's three. The reason why we didn't film 2 weeks ago was because on the Wednesday that we were going to film, the tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk happened. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was like had a little bit of a funk. And so at first I told you, like, I don't think we're going to do one this week, you know? Because for me, honestly, it felt weird to do like another topic. And then I felt like it was like maybe too soon to talk about the Charlie Kirk stuff. So we took that week off. Then
last week,
this beautiful girl decides to be sick once again.
Yeah, so it's been 2 weeks since we filmed.
3 weeks since we filmed. 2 weeks that we haven't filmed. Okay. Uh-huh. And then we've been trying to film another episode, kind of like a special one, but that one's kind of, the scheduling has been kind of wacky, but that's our update for the last couple of weeks. Last week you were in really rough shape. I remember we went to, I met you at soccer for Elijah's soccer practice.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you should go home and take a nap. Because the plan was that we were still going to film. And usually when you're kind of sick, you like take a nap and, you know, you kind of have at least a little bit of a bounce back when you take a nap. But last week you took that nap and you didn't get back up. And that told me like, oh, she's pretty sick. So I didn't want to like wake you up and like, hey, we have to like film whatever. So I let you sleep. And then I remember you woke up Thursday and you were still... You were out of it. You were like done for like a couple of days. You championed the days through. But
yeah, I dragged myself to work. But after work, I would just go home, knock out until the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was kind of rough. And that's where we've been the last couple of weeks. Anything that you want to update on your part?
No, it sucks because, I mean, it's a good thing because I still have like 2 weeks till the marathon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad.
Less than 2 weeks.
Oh, less than 2 weeks.
You have about 11 days.
About 11 days till the half marathon. So it could have been worse. Like I could have gotten sick right before.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, you got it out of the way at least.
I got out of the way, but then I feel like since I don't have a long run scheduled, I'm like, oh my goodness, am I going to be okay? It's just like your breathing kind of. It's different. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm short of breath. I'm still congested. And so it's a little nerve-wracking knowing like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to run 10 miles, let alone 13 miles.
Have you been taking your vitamins? Don't lie to me.
My Ollie's right there every day next to my coffee.
At least you're getting some vitamin C then. That's probably helping.
And so...
I mean, on Saturday, you're going to run a bit, so you'll be able to see where you're at.
I mean, I already ran 3 miles, I think. Didn't I?
Last?
No.
No.
No. No, I didn't.
No, you haven't. but yeah, 11 days until the half marathon. And again, shout out to all the people that are doing the half marathon and the full marathon. I'll be cheering you guys on. I'm excited to be there. Thank you. My plan is, honestly, to see... at least 2 to 3 parts of you like down the race. And hopefully the tracker's like pretty accurate. I mean, I have you're gonna be carrying your phone, right, too. So I'll be tracking where you're at. And then hopefully me and the kids see you a couple of times.
I am so bad with maps and directions. So I feel like I can never track you down. But you're really good at that.
Yeah, it's not that hard. But yeah, and I hope I see other people that I know, because we know a handful of people that are doing like the half marathon and full marathon. So I'm honestly so excited.
Are you gonna have a sign? One step at a time. or better?
I mean, if I was going by myself, yeah, but since I'm going with the kids, no, it doesn't really make sense.
They can have one that's go mommy.
It's not enough that they're going to be there screaming go mommy.
For the pictures.
No, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I wish I was running with you guys, but I'll be running the LA marathon.
But then that's good because then I get to hug you after.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll actually be there at the finish line cheering you on.
Thank you.
So yeah. Yeah, that's where we've been at. That's where we're at right now. And yeah, let's get on with the episode. Yeah, like I said, 2 weeks ago was the crazy assassination of Charlie Kirk. And that day, honestly, I wouldn't call it numb, but like there's so much like crazy things that happen in the world. I feel like I
compartmentalize.
There you go. That. And so I feel like it doesn't affect me, right? I try not to jump in that, what I see as like a hole, you know, like, because there's bad, like, especially in America nowadays, like, bad things happen all the time, right? And so most of the things I feel like, okay, you know, like, it's news, you know, but I don't know, for whatever reason, like, well, not for whatever reason, and that, we're going to talk about it today, right? And we're going to talk about this in various different aspects, and I guess since I'm going down that path right now, we might as well touch on that first. Like, one of the reasons why it affected me so much was that when I saw what happened, I saw it from every single angle possible. Mm. Like, I saw it from the front, far away. I saw it from the close left, the close right, the close middle, and the close back right of where he was. And I guess, I mean, I don't feel like you're meant to see that kind of stuff, yeah. You know? And that's one of the things that I want to touch on is, are we meant to take that on with like social media and stuff? Like, are we meant to take that on? But before that, like one of the other reasons that it kind of like got me in a funk, I guess, is... for whatever reason, well, my brother reached out to me and he's like, I can't believe that happened. And then he reached out to me and told me, I can't believe what I'm reading in the comments. So he's a person that loves to read the comments. He's like, I can't believe what I'm reading in the comments. There's actually people celebrating that he got assassinated. And he was down and out. And, you know, I was, you know, trying to not cheer him up, but kind of like tell him, like, I guess see like a more stable perspective. And one of the things that I told him was, you know, Charlie went out doing what he believed was right, what he loved to do. And he was fulfilling the purpose that God had given him. And one of the things that hit home for me and it just made it so real was, I mean, at least a lot of churches that I listen to or see the clips of, like, they don't really talk about it, but like it says it so many times in the New Testament, like when you follow Christ, you will be persecuted. They will want to take you out. And so like seeing this man like so convicted in his faith and so convicted in his beliefs and him being able to go to all these campuses and openly debate all these people as he stand firm on his faith and what he believed in, like, and for him to be taken out, it was just like, it's real. It is real. Because, I mean, we can only assume that he was taken out, like a lot of people have assumed he was taken out because people didn't like what he was saying. Let's assume that is to be true. it just brings it home. Like it's so true. And then it also makes me think, if a person that is a Christian isn't being persecuted, even in the slightest way, are they truly living for Christ? And that kind of shook me. And so before we get into it again, I really admired Charlie Kirk. And I admired him because I think I, on a, how do I say this, in an intrapersonal way, like I connected with him. Because, like, I mean, you've known me for a while now, for like, what, 10 years or something like that. And he just stood up for what he believed in. And he was so firm and bold. And like, there are times that that comes out in me. You know, like, I'm going to fight for what's right, you know, whatever. And, you know, I'm obviously not perfect in it, and I'm not always super consistent in it. But, like, that's why, one of the reasons why I admire him is, like, okay, I admired him because he stood on his faith. He was rooted in it. He was not shaken. He was not moved. And he made it his, like, mission to go anywhere and everywhere and always introduce the gospel in some way, shape, or form. And he would fight for the gospel. And yeah, so that's why I admire him. So let's actually start with that. Like, how did you feel with it? What were your thoughts? How did you process?
I think it was my lunchtime or something, but it, towards the end when I found out. And so I didn't have the, like, ability or the time to, like, go deep and search it up. Because I do think if it was, like, after school or maybe the beginning of lunch or something like that, I would have gone down and maybe have seen the footage that everyone, like, has seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister did send me something. And then I wasn't, like, by the time I got it, I wasn't able to open. I think TikTok flagged it down or something. And so I'm kind of grateful that I didn't see that footage. Like, part of me is, like, curious. And I even debated, like, should I go looking for it? Because I know you can find it.
Easily.
And I'm just like, no, I don't need to. Because that's scary. And I think I just would instill, like, more fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, for sure, I don't think people should be exposed to that. And I'm grateful I wasn't. And at first I was like, oh, because I think I saw the first Instagram story saying, please pray for Charlie Kirk. Like, it's not looking good. Pray for him, like, this minute. And so it's like, what the heck happened? And I literally, like, just prayed. And then I think that's when I opened up my phone again. And during my lunchtime, because I saw it in the beginning, and then during my lunchtime, and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, once they showed, I saw the long shot one, and I was like, I don't think, like, he's going to make it. And I was like, thinking, like, what if he dies? Da, 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 da. So I was kind of, like, mentally, like, preparing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the news came out, I was already in class. And so I don't think I could have really, like, processed it. So it wasn't until after I'm just like, oh my goodness. And then I think I did get sad because it was already so much division. By the time I, like, logged on, I was already picking up, like, steam, and I think people had time to sit with it and post about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just saw division, and that made me sad. I think it just made me sad. It kind of gets me a little hopeless on humanity. Like, it doesn't matter what people could say. There's going to be division. And, like, I know there's sometimes he came across, like, not caring about people's feelings or whatever. But it's, like, that's his conviction. Like, you have your own conviction. I personally will never, like, wish ill on someone, even if they have, like, a completely opposite conviction of me. Like, and then I imagine if one of my students, because students, I serve students of, like, many different walks in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know a lot of them don't agree with my morals, my values, don't have the same convictions. Maybe their families. And, like, I just imagine if one of my students grows up to be either, like, a Charlie Kirk or opposite, where they go against everything I don't believe in. Like, I don't think I can ever, like, I just imagine, like, a student and be like, oh, unfortunately, we think differently. Like, I tried educating you and you ended up this way because of your values, whatever. And so I try to put myself in people's shoes who, like, start hating on it and, like, start being divisive and start being ugly about it. And I'm just like, what? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And so it makes me sad because I'm like, if we can't be sad about a death, doesn't matter who it is. Like, it's very hard, I think, to cross the table and, like, have conversations or get farther ahead when it comes to things that matter. Mm-hmm. And so I get a little, like, sad, just, like, a little, like, hopeless in humanity. Like, we're so prideful. We're so stuck in our ways. Both sides, like, right and left, like, start pointing at each other. And so that I was just, like, sad about that. Like, sad about, obviously, Charlie Kirk. And then just sad about how people were, like, using it against each other. And I'm just like, this sucks.
Yeah, it's for me, it's really crazy that it's no longer about right or wrong. It's simply just left or right. Mm-hmm. Immediately, it turns into left or right. Like, it was instant that it turned into left and right. And I'm just like, where's the right and wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, when did celebrating somebody's death become your version of right? Like, that is how divisive this country has become. And I think that is preposterous. It's ridiculous. It's, I can't even stand it at all. Like, it doesn't matter. Nowadays, it doesn't matter what it is. It's always right or left. And for the right, they're right. And for the left, they're right. Like, there is no, like, yo, what happened to us all being human and that there is just a universal right and wrong? Like, people can go around not believing in God. Okay, fine. Like, I hope God meets you where you're at one day and that you accept him. But even if you don't, where is just your moral humanity, your human, just like, scale of right and wrong? Like, when did America just become the country where we celebrate the other side's death? It's insane. And I think, I mean, it'll take many multitudes of people and a revolution in government for things to change in that aspect, I think. I think we are so far down that hole of right and left that for the people that are established right now and even the people that are slowly going into government, like, it's going to take a generation or two to, like, be able to tip back the balance. Like, what do you think about that?
I saw on Candace's podcast today. Mm-hmm. Is it Jimmy Kimmel, the one that got canceled?
Yes.
And I thought that was a step in the right direction when Jimmy Kimmel, he came back on air and he thanked, like, a lot of conservatives and Ted Cruz, and he showed a clip of
Ted. He basically said, for the people who don't agree with my points of views and stuff, but you guys met us in the middle and basically said, like,
this was wrong.
Like, to basically, for the government to overreach and basically dictate, like, what is spoken and what not spoken, he's like, it's wrong.
Which I thought that was a huge step from going, like, right to left to be like, okay, this is wrong. It doesn't matter what side you are. So I think it can happen. Like, we've seen it again with Epstein files, both right and left are like, this is wrong. Show us, like, it's us against the government per se. And so I see, like, glimpses, and I think that's what people don't understand. Like, human emotions are so powerful, but they're indicators. It's not everything. It's not the most important. They're just indicators. And if we can't control it, like, they control us. and they control narratives and they control agendas and whatever. And so when there's great things that happen or traumatic events that happen and your emotions are at an all-time high, that is not the right time to speak. It's not the right time to make a decision. Like, it's just humanly speaking, like you're on a high, like whether it's a positive high or a negative high, like see how you feel tomorrow about it, like relax. And so I think the government has, well, since the beginning, like of time, Satan really realized that and has used it to their advantage. And so when emotions are at an all-time high, it's like, oh, it's easy to control us, to get us to vote, like fear-mongering. And we see that every time there's a school shooting, like right versus left. Like, it's never, what can we do to stop this? It's like pointing fingers. Mm-hmm. And if you point fingers, you're putting a defensive wall automatically up. No one is going to want to sit across the table and discuss if there's fingers being pointed at. Like, that's very hostile. But that's what they all do. And so the one gets defensive and then they put their guard up and it's like, we're not going to get anywhere if we're emotional about it and we can't think rational. We can't think like on a humanly level, like feel for one another. No, it's just, everyone's just pointing the finger and yeah, I don't like it.
No, you were saying that for like the Epstein files, both sides were coming together. And the moment that you said that, I kind of just like pictured like a toxic relationship that they've been just bickering the whole time. Honestly, kind of like when we were kind of trying to figure things out and when we both finally agreed like, hey, we're going to work together. But remember, like me and you just kept having to like remind each other like, that's not me anymore. Mm. We're working on it. And it's almost like, hey, like let's unite. But then there's always that fear of like, are they going to do what they usually do? Will they fall back before we fall back?
Yeah. Like the not trust part. If you can't trust, then you can't really put your guard down.
Yeah. Yeah. But that honestly just needs to stop. And I mean, if we have any say in it, like if we have any influence on it, with the little people that watch this, like I just want to encourage you all to like, let it stop being about right and left and let it just start being about truth, right and wrong. Like if we can just stand on that, like that will unite a lot more people than whatever it is that they're trying to do right now. Like this whole right and wrong pointing fingers, like it's going to get us nowhere. And it's been crazy. Let's move to the graphics. And not just with the Charles Kirk, but like I said, I saw it from every single angle. And then my brother reached out to me and he's reading the comments and like it just made me like think and reflect, like, are we meant to see all this evil happening in the world? Are we really meant to carry that? Like before social media, what will we have heard of? Just whatever it is that the news decided, hey, this is newsworthy to tell the people. Other than that, I mean, if you want to talk about percentages, like we were probably getting like 10% of like the whole news. And now it's just like, oh, now you're not getting 10%. Now you're getting 100%. And not only are you getting 100%, but now you're starting to read people's reactions to it. And you're starting, like these comments are like a doorway or a window into people's hearts. And to see the people like celebrating an assassination, like you can only like feel like that's evil. And so my question, and I want to get your thoughts, is like, first, do you think that we were meant to carry everything that we're seeing right now? Because again, like news happens and we get it in an instant. Like in an instant, there was all four, five, six angles
of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And then only because, like, I paid attention to Charlie Kirk's assassination, then I found out about the girl that was on the train or the bus or whatever. And then there was, like, another shooting while Charlie Kirk was being assassinated in a school or something like that. And it's just, like, that is a lot. And I think it's debatable. Some people will be like, well, no, we have every right to know. And we have a right to know why it happened and when it happened and how it happened and how can we prevent it and so on and so forth. Like, it's important for us to be informed. But on the other side, and I'm leaning more to this side, I'm just like, I don't think we were meant to, like, deal with all of that. I don't think we were meant to, like, see all of that. I don't think our minds and our hearts are prepared to carry that or should carry that. And I'm more on, like, hey, like, if I don't get any of that news, I'm not bothered. Like, is it not important? I'm not saying it's not important. But do I need to know about it? I don't necessarily think so. What do you think?
I don't agree with that last statement of, like, not wanting to know about anything. Just because I do think awareness does bring, like, knowledge and power. Like, okay, I'm making sure I'm safe for the people around me. Like, precaution. Like, I do think awareness is power. And then obviously there's some power that we can't control. Like, we would hope that we can vote or legislate for things that we do think are more important that'll make us safer, or, like, learn from certain situations. Now, are we meant, how you said, to, I think, like, our human soul is not meant for that evil. Like, we're not created with evil, I think, in mind. And so, do I think we should get censored from it? Like, the government or whoever controls the media, like, pick and choose what we see? Like, no, I would want to know that if I want to look something up, I can. Now, should I? It's a different story because I think, again, that fear, like, I know my personally, I don't think me watching all those angles is going to do good. So I don't. But knowing that, like, okay, I can look it up if, you know, like, the information's available to me.
So you're saying you want the option of it. It's just you want to be the wise one.
Yeah. I don't think government should control. Okay,
so here's the thing, though. We are living in a society. I don't have the stats and I don't have the percentages or anything, but I think it's a high percentage. I think it's a very high percentage. And that is why the algorithms push it out so much, that people want to see these things. Now, are they necessarily ready to see them, or they know how to process them? Like, no, but for whatever reason, like, something inside them is like, yes, give it to me. Like, I want to see it. They're, like, binging on it.
That's crazy.
And so you're saying, like, oh, yes, give us the option. Like, I don't want you to, like, censor anything. I don't want you to control anything. I want to be in full control. But then, like, when you were talking about this, I immediately thought, what about your kids?
No, but that's why.
No. Hold on. What about your kids when they're 11 and 12 years old? Let's say you finally get them a phone. And then what are you going to tell them? Hey, you have all this availability to you and you just have to be strong enough to not choose to see all that. Even if your friends bring it up, don't look at it. Or what are you going to do? Put a parental control on it? And why are you going to tell me why you're going to put the parental control and why that doesn't apply the same way as, like, a proper government, I want to say, would do to us? Like, if you already know, like, a weakness of your children, right, in that they're probably going to consume something that they shouldn't be consuming, like, shouldn't you as a parent or somebody in control be like, no, you shouldn't?
No, and this is where I guess my conservatism kicks in, which, because I did hear middle schoolers, like, talking about it, like, the next day. Crazy.
We're talking about middle schoolers and not your kids.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I've heard middle schoolers and I was like, oh my goodness, like, I was like, they should not have watched that. Like, they should not have seen that. So yeah, of course, if I felt like that with middle schoolers, like, with my own kids, I would not. But that's where, how I said, my conservatism kicks in, because I do not trust the government to know what is best for me. because then they get to decide. They're my quote unquote parents, which I hope my kids know that I love them and that I know what's best for them. And I built a relationship with them that they know, okay, my mom puts parental controls. They can put a fit, sure, like kids, but they know that, yes, I am loved and I'm taken care of. This government is sketch. We have no idea if they're feeding us what we want to see or what they want us to see, hiding things that really affect us, of like maybe what's happening in other governments that like we should keep an eye out for or whatever. So to have, for them to have that power when I don't know if they have our best interests at heart or if they have their own interests or foreign interests.
But then again, I go back to the things that we are seeing. Are we meant to see them?
No, we are meant, America, which I believe the notion of citizenship, the notion of free education is to educate, which we can talk about that in another episode if it has failed us or not. But I'm saying like the intention, right? Like its pure intention was to educate the populace so that they have the power to decide what's best, which is you can't have liberty without like the other. Like if we're free, there's going to be bad with it, obviously. And so there's going to be citizens like me where it's like, that's wise, educated, whatever, that it's like, that's not good for me. Same thing with porn. Everyone can access porn.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that should be illegal. Like there's nothing good in my perspective. Nothing good comes from it. Do I watch it? Cause I can't, I'm out of control. No. Am I going to my kids? Oh, I'm going to have them be wise. Let them choose. No, like I'm protect them. Let them know like this, that's out there. It's the reality we live in. It's out there. But I feel like to have this governed entity, which we don't even know who really is controlling, to control is not wise.
I really like and appreciate this conversation that we're having because this might be one of the few times where me and you are disagreeing and we're having a proper discussion. Because usually we're just like, oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Well, yeah, because I'm like a pure conservative in that regard.
What is your stance?
Canadian.
There is statistics on this that ever since social media became a mainstream thing, depression has gone up high.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so we go back to, are we meant to see what we're seeing? Clearly, there's a lot of people that can't handle it. And then you want to go on the whole porn thing. Yes, it's available. Okay. It's available. And how much of a stronghold does that industry have on men these days?
Oh.
And then you're talking about, it's basically the same thing. Like, oh, no, just don't censor anything. Don't stop anything. Just let it happen. And so then we have a bunch of enslaved people, really.
Mm-hmm.
Enslaved to social media, enslaved to pornography, like enslaved to all these things that are readily available because nothing should be shut down and no boundaries should be had. And the worst thing about it is, okay, I get you on the conservative side. We're just like, no, like we should have and we should be wise. But our problem as an American society is that we don't have enough proper, mature, equipped leaders that are leading people properly, that are teaching people properly, that are discipling people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge gap, whether, yes, you know, pastors or whatever want to come on and be like, no, that's not true. No, it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
It is very true. And you could see it in society of the stronghold that all these visual things have on people. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
You said something and I wanted to stop you because I was like, I don't want to forget. Because you just, after you said something, you like kind of went on like, mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. A tangent, okay. But you said something where you're like, that America has the power to control it. And then now they're like enslaved to porn or social media or something, mm-hmm, right? I wish I like caught exactly what you said because it sounded exact. As soon as you said that, I had this vision of like making the argument to God like, God, you have the power to control. Now there's so many people who are slave to sin, but he doesn't choose that. Which is like, he could, right? He could, and God is completely different than government. But you said it. And so when you have free will, like, you have to give up. You have to say, we're in a free society. If you have free will, there's going to be, again, negatives and things that come from it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing you say, it's like giving that up. Like, here, I give you my free will because this is wrong.
Okay. No. And that's where, okay. That's where I don't like or even want to see your point of view, because you see it as, I'm giving up my free will. Just, I don't want to see all these things. Like, that, you're not giving up your free will. You are not giving up your free will. And on top of that, if you want to talk about God, because that's the first thing that you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
God, and we've been reading Deuteronomy, God over and over again, and all Deuteronomy, like, he's setting up all these boundaries. It's like, Moses, tell all these people and all the leaders of Israel, these are the boundaries. These are the rules. This is what you should be doing. So you talk about free will, but it's not free will willy-nilly. Like, oh yeah, just go roam and do whatever you want.
No, it's free will.
No. But there is boundaries that I'm establishing and you should follow. So should we have boundaries? Yes, we should.
100%.
Are we lacking leadership that actually establish and teach and empower?
100%.
100%.
So our question goes, it seems like we agree that we should have boundaries. We agree that free will isn't deprivation. It's free will to stand up to the occasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need discipleship and leaders. Like, it looks like we agree on the right thing. We disagree on how we get there. Because you brought up Deuteronomy and God did that. God is telling Moses, a leader that he picked, a leader that people were like, we had issues, like, we complained about Moses, but he got us through, that had like the rap sheet, for lack of a better word. Now you're telling me to put my trust in the government who has time and time and time again proven?
I believe it was you that time and time again has told me, and this is at the beginning of our marriage, and the beginning of our
of
our relationship, when you and your whole family were so hard up on the government of, like, USA, we believe in our government. There is no, like, iffy things happening or nothing. Like, we believe in them 100%. No, hold on. And then you would always say over and over again, the government that is in this land has been established by God. The government that is in this land has been established by God.
I've never said it.
Oh, yes, you have.
Listen, I've never said the government in this land is established by God. I've never said those words to the T. You probably, like,
you have, because it is actually a biblical verse.
No. Yeah. I'm saying if it's his will, like, to not go against his authority that he has placed, for 100%. You are, I think, like, taking me from 10 years ago. I'm 30 now. I've heard and seen some things. Do I think America had that, where there was people in the beginning that were founded on Christian principles? 100%. Do I think all hope is lost? No, I think as long as there is good people in this world, like, hope is not lost. As long as we have the, like, just the fact that we can sit here and debate our government and talk about Christianity and, like, no one's, like, at our door, like, that's a beautiful thing that I don't take for granted in this country. That this country has a lot of good things going on compared to the other countries, 100%. That, and the same time, that there's corruption in this country, 100%. But you mistake us. We can love this, be proud and love this country and be grateful. And you're forgetting that my family was 100% conservative, which means minimal government overreach. And it means more, you said it exactly what I thought, what I think, which is, you said discipleship needs to happen. If in Deuteronomy, it says to, it doesn't say the king that you establish teach these kids. It says made the parents like instruct your kids on the way they should go. Now, is it a whole responsibility of the community for the well-being and a nation for their well-being? 100%. But me now even more, I like double down even more as an educator because I can tell you, I don't even have to meet those kids' parents. I don't even have to meet their family. And I'm almost never wrong when I'm like, if I reach out to this parent, they're going to be super supportive. If I reach out to this parent, probably non-existent, probably struggling at home. Like I can almost like figure it out already, which is crazy because a lot of the things, it stems from the home. And that has been decaying. If the family decays, which is actually what Charlie Kirk has been like saying for a long time, that if the Charlie decays, like everything else goes with it. And so to give that responsibility to the government means, again, less responsibility for the parent. I feel like the parent, that's what's been happening. It's like, my kid is being taught. Oh, my kid is being distracted. I don't have to entertain them. My kid is like, and so I still, I don't think I can ever, I would need maybe years or like, I don't want to say never because I'm, I have changed my viewpoints. But to wield that power to the government to let them know, oh, I trust in what you're censoring.
My point is not so much about like the censorship. Like I get you that the government can skew what we see and what we hear to manipulate us into whatever, voting their way or whatever. I agree with you on that. What I'm really just focusing on is like, the things that we're seeing and like, okay, like let's call a spade, us human have one of our biggest weaknesses is our sight. Like a lot of sin starts with our sight.
From the beginning, from a fruit tree.
Okay. And so knowing that, that's where my thing is like,
but God,
the more that we progress, the more that sin becomes more of a vulnerability.
100%.
And you're talking about like, and that's where like it just clashes with my way of thinking of just, but, no, just let it all be there. And just like my kids, no matter, even if we're like the most perfect parents in the whole world, sin can still enter through sight.
And it will.
And it will. And especially if they have a phone, especially if they have Instagram, TikTok, and so on and so forth, like,
it will. If sin...
Okay, what are you going to do one day? Okay, this is just a hypothetical. Hold on.
But I want to go answer your point before answering this point.
It's not really a point. I'm building like
a case.
No, well... Elijah, the most innocent kid in the whole world, a beautiful smile, great personality, great heart. What are you going to do one day if that little kid... at 12, 13 years old, see something that he shouldn't have seen. And I'm talking about like some sort of like crazy thing. And you notice this kid's personality start to shift.
Oh, it's going to hurt me. It's going to be heartbreaking, 100%.
And your stance is going to still be the same. Oh, no, just let him see whatever, you know.
No,
like,
I'm not
saying. Let it all be accessible.
I'm not saying let it all be accessible. I'm saying it is my responsibility as a parent and as a community, like, for example, okay, this is where we're ever going to see eye to eye, but you even said, through our sight, we're easily tempted.
Mm-hmm.
God made a beautiful garden with boundaries, and they sinned over a fruit tree. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to say I would have been stronger, but I'm like, a fruit tree? So you're telling me, like, we can sin in any situation, the most beautiful paradise situation and the most depraved situation. Give me a spectrum. Humans will find a way to sin. That's our strength. Maybe not a strength, but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe as a Christian with Jesus's kingdom, of how it's here, but not yet. I do think, let's say I'm not in politics. but I did political science major, and we had debates on political philosophy of how do we cultivate a better society. Mind you, this might be very biased because I went to a conservative Christian school where they think, again, government overreach is not a good thing, right? So I might be biased. But they said one of the topics, and it might not make sense, but just try to see where the... I'm threading the needle here, and then hopefully you see where I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the questions they were trying us to get how, again, the point was how can we cultivate a better society, like a Christian society, right? Through politics. And then they opened up the debate, and it was this question about pornography. And it was like, what would you guys do? And you had people saying, we'd ban it. We'd do, you can't ban it. People would go crazy. Do this, do that. Like, it was just, they were wild, right? I am saying, these were, in my eyes, young kids because they just graduated high school. They were there. I am seeing this from a more, I was older. I was like a mom already, right? So I stayed quiet, and I usually stay quiet because I'm an introvert. And then at the end, I had like such a good point where the professor was like, thank you. Like, you are getting it. And all I said was, to cultivate takes time. Like, you can't, if you cultivate, I'm not familiar with gardening, but you cultivate, you have to be careful not to yank it because you can hurt it. It's a long process. And so I said, if we want to get rid of pornography, we have to put certain things in place. Like, for example, maybe create a law where you have to wear condoms in porn. They have to protect themselves. Like, it, that's cultivation. They're like, yes, you're getting it. You can't completely ban it because, again, you're going against liberties and you're going to get more people upset. But you're saying, I care about you from an empathetic, like, loving standpoint. I care about you. And so you're slowly starting to cultivate a culture that's about more caring and stuff, even if it's something you don't agree with, like pornography. Does that make sense? So going to my point, I think I have a responsibility as a mom to protect and put boundaries 1,000%. And I'm not saying let the world do what it does and Elijah go out there and say no to temptation. I'm not saying that. I am going to try my best to control what he watches, control when he gets a phone, even his friends. I even told you I am willing to move him schools, move towns if I feel like his friends are being an influence. Even with family members, I think then it's our duty as a community, right? Like his school, like picking a school. Then as a community, whoever watches him, whoever I let in our friend group, whatever, be like, what boundaries, what am I setting for my son? For me to say that is the government's responsibility, and again, give them that power immediately, like censor everything, I do not think it's wise. It is not wise. It always, always starts at home. And you even said it. Deuteronomy has boundaries and says, you do this law and you teach them. Again, I'm telling you, he picked the leader. That's a theocracy, completely different from a democracy where people pick their leaders. And we, again, got tempted by the fruit tree. So if we pick our leaders, they're going to be fault. This is God chose the leader. And he told the leader to teach them. But first, it was always parents' responsibility. Parents instruct your child where they will go and they will not fall. But second, you're talking about then he gave the nation of Israel all of these boundaries. And then what does he say right after? He gives them, if you follow the boundaries, you'll be blessed. Da, 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 da. Then he gives them a buttload of, if you don't, the depravity that they will see. To the point of where they will start eating. It was like talking about cannibalism. That's some depravity stuff, depraved stuff that we're seeing from a lack of boundary. But that if it can happen in a theocracy, and it did, they fell into that. Babylon, Assyria, the most like savage warfare, savage military tactics, like that they witnessed that, they did. If that can happen in a theocracy, me giving and saying someone that's not chosen by God, you can set the boundaries that not even God is speaking? Nah. No, thank you. That there should be... Now, if I can vote and there be a wiser choice, like cultivating, There has been laws. There's been cultivating of, okay, if you are over 13, you shouldn't have social media. The kids lie about their age. And so even social media are saying, okay, now you have to upload a driver's license. If you put that you're above, upload a driver's license. That's cultivating. Yes. But to say, even for adults, like you have no power on what, like you can't tell us what you think is good or bad and stuff like that, because I don't trust them. Because again, the next leader, the next regime, the next whatever, you already set the precedent. You control exactly what I watch. And so if it's someone that's completely on the other side of the spectrum, like 100% evil to get that amount of power, where you already set the precedent, is very risky. And so I see your fear. It is a mother's fear. My son will see stuff. It is our responsibility. It is our circles, community, where it's like it takes a village to raise this child. But that that little boy is going to see things where he's no longer innocent.
My thought is just like,
give it to the government to decide.
Were we better off without like Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all that stuff? Yes,
but you have to even think, okay, you said about like depression and stuff, right? Because depression has gone up, like so many things have gone up. The Old Testament, or not even Old Testament, like ancient civilizations, they were exposed to so much gore. Like where I'm talking about wars being fought on their homeland. Even right now, what Gaza is experiencing, like no one should see that. Like no, like we're not meant for that, 100%. I think that this, like the depression and anxiety that we have does not compare to what Gaza is currently enduring, what societies of like, again, war, where captivity, like slavery, like those types of things. So I think that word, people are very trigger happy and like use it for things where it's like, are you really depressed and getting anxiety? Yeah, probably. But that we cannot compare it to like people who don't even know that word and are dealing with crazier things. And it goes back to like, evil is going to surround us. You even talked about this. We did a podcast on focus. Like evil will surround us. There'll be times where wars are on our homeland, where we will see like bodies piled up, like people have seen that. Like people have endured slavery. People on the other side of the country are dealing with hardcore persecution. And God carries us. Like he could stop sin in a snap. He can set those boundaries for us because be like, you guys don't know better. Like he can. He doesn't. I think certain people, yeah, like God's sovereign and there's certain things that he is controlling and there's certain things that he's like, you're a depraved mind. I have given you over to your sin that you guys have caused. But God always gets a way out. Like he says to go to him because his burden is light. Like when our yoke feels heavy, to take on the yoke of Christ because he carries it. And so it's not hopeless when we know that when we're dealing with these traumatic events or like PTSD from the horror that is so easily accessible, like we have, as Christians, we have an answer. We have hope. We have peace. Like we have it. And if we can't, it's a reminder that this is in our home.
I want to move on to the next 2 points, and I think I'm going to smash them up into one. But before I do, I think one of the issues is that people believe that having Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook and whatever else is a right. And the crazy thing is that a lot of the people that work at these companies don't allow their kids to download the apps. I think there's like a documentary or whatever on Netflix, I think, that has to do all with that, how the algorithm works and stuff. And yeah, it is crazy to know that a lot of the people that work at these companies don't allow their kids to watch it.
There you go.
So they know what's going on, right? But I'm at the same spot, right? Okay, you don't want anybody to control the whatchamacallit. I go back, fine, okay, don't control what's being put out in all these algorithms. But you can control them not having these three apps or four apps or whatever it is. Like, why do we need them? Why do we honestly need them?
No, we don't need them.
So, yeah, anyways, the next 2 points. With the passing of Charlie Kirk in the next couple of days and weeks now, I've been seeing a lot of churches, you know, preach about Charlie Kirk. And they're like, we must stand up and we must speak truth and we must have the same conviction as Charlie. You know, just everyone was inspired by this man, right? He was only 31 years old, but what he did was pretty remarkable. And again, I think it's crazy how some people, when they die, they make more of an impact than, or not more of an impact there, but they're more like, quote unquote, appreciated when they're gone than when they were alive. Because you don't hear any other preacher saying like, hey, like, you know, Charlie Kirk is a great example of how we should be. You know, it's not until when he passes away that they all stand up and like, no, we should have the same convictions and we should be standing up and we're tired of just being like these emotional Christians and soft Christians. Like, now we're going to actually stand on the truth and speak whether you like it or not. And my thing is two things. One, when the emotions wear out, where are all these people going to be? And two, have they, all these people that are standing up with these emotions and inspiration and stuff they have right now, have they even thought about the cost of what it is that they're talking about? Because the cost, we see it in Charlie Kirk's life or his assassination. Like, that is the cost of being bold. I mean, we see it in the life of Jesus, right? Now, there's a lot, I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I didn't fully agree with everything that Charlie said, but, you know, I really like that he stood up for his convictions and stuff. And then I see some people like, no, he was very kind and he was like nice. And but I have seen some clips where he like, not like, doesn't seem like it's like with ill will, but I mean, he verbally like just destroys people.
He's human.
And well, hold on. He verbally destroys people, and some can interpret that as like, yo, you were just shaming them in front of everybody, right? But then I go back to Jesus, and Jesus naturally was just a public speaker. He wasn't really he wasn't really trying to throw hands with anybody while he was speaking to the multitudes, right? It was not until the Pharisees would come and would kind of like either challenge him or try to make him trip up or try to trick him or whatever, where he would start like verbally, I guess, start throwing hands. And so then you see the videos, and the only times when he does verbally destroy somebody was when they first come up to him all contentious and trying to challenge him or try to make him look dumb. And then I see his, like, I guess, righteousness, like that Jesus type of righteousness come out and be like, no, you're wrong, and bah, 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 bah. And then it's just like, checkmate, right? So my point is those two things. Where are all those people going to be when the emotions are gone? Do you think that this is going to be something long lasting, or do you think this is going to be like almost everything else? Oh my gosh, yes, blah, 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 blah. A couple years pass by and everybody forgets. Let's start with that.
I mean, it's human nature. I think, because I think you kind of see it as like a turn off, like, oh, everyone's talking about them now that they're dead. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's not a turn off, but I know it's an emotional like response. Yeah. And so my question will always be, will those emotions withstand time?
But that happened with Jesus. It wasn't until Jesus died where it became a global religion. They couldn't appreciate him.
Yeah, no, no, no. My thing is not just and like, oh, no, like... No, but
I know. I'm saying like, that's human nature. And even with Jesus, like, he's still talked about till this day, which is unlike, obviously, Charlie Kirk and other martyrs. But it's like watered down, like where it says the path is large for those who want to take the easy way out. And they probably think they're, oh, we're walking to the path. We're on the right way. And it's large. And then the path is narrow. It's more difficult, less traveled. And I think that's human nature. Like people, we have been talking about it on this podcast. Like, they don't want to do the uncomfortable, whether it's fitness, finances, religion, conviction. And so, yeah, it's a human emotion, like time and time again. Like, it takes disciplined people, which unfortunately humans lack, that naturally and needs to be cultivated by whether that's parents, knowledge, resilience in the kid. Like, a lot of things can make a kid better. But usually it starts in the home. But I think people are going to talk about it, and then there's going to be a few that truly got impacted and will be marked by this event. And then there's going to be the multitudes who are just go back to living their life. But because they did that, not like in every arena of their life, not because it was Charlie Kirk.
And that is, for me personally, definitely a turnoff in regards to, I mean, I guess mostly American Christians, where it's like right now, like the hoorah, like they took one of ours and we're going to stand up and we're not going to take this lying down and we're going to start fighting and we're going to start speaking truth and we're going to have this conviction. And honestly, again, speaking with my brother, like I had that little moment of prayer because, we talked about it here. I talked about it. In regards to like, ever since I heard that thing about from Raphael McManus, where he was, or Irwin McManus, where he was talking to his kid, and his kid was like, "I'm scared" or something like that. Please pray that, you know, these things go away, and that he prayed like, "I'm not gonna pray for them to go away. I'm gonna pray that you can be a dangerous man." And ever since I heard that, it's been something that's been sticking with me. And then so, with everything that happened with Charlie Kirk and then having the conversation with my brother, and I'm just like obviously, like there's like an emotional trigger, right? There's an emotional response where I was just like, I need to, like, I'm still like praying, God, make me that dangerous man. Like, cause I feel like Charlie Kirk, like not in the sake of he went looking for danger, but in that dangerous man of like, he was brave, courageous, like, stood on his convictions. Like, he must have known, like, sooner or later, like, there's going to be a lot of people that are really opposed to what I'm saying.
Well, he said he got death threats all the time.
Yeah, so, like, he knew what he was getting himself into. He seemed like he was very well knowledge in what the Bible said. And so, I mean, if he read any of the New Testament, he knew, like, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. They're going to come after you. Like, they're going to want you gone. And so I, like these pastors, had this, like, I guess, emotional response. And I think that's, I guess, I'm somewhat projecting, but also, like, I want to hold myself accountable as well, because I don't want it to be something that is, like, just an emotional thing where it's just like, oh, like, I feel the emotions. And when I don't feel the emotions, poof, it's gone. I'm moving on to the next thing. You know, because I feel like that's what's going to happen with a lot of these people that came out, like, no, just stand up and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to fade away. And then what? We're like, well, we're all these people that were clamoring and even telling, like, people, if your pastor hasn't, like, said anything about Charlie Kirk, leave there, whatchamacallit. Like, what are you doing? And so that was my thought of just, like, it is so important. It is so, so important that many more men and women with conviction stand up. It is so necessary. Because if not, we're barreling down the mountain hard. We've touched on it a little bit today, like all these things that are happening, and there's not enough people standing up. There's not enough people with convictions. There's not enough leaders out there. There's not enough people doing what they should be doing. And I think it's so important for those people to rise up. And people like Charlie Kirk, people that have a lot of influence now and that are truly convicted and are truly doing, you know, God's work. Like, I just want to emphasize, like, all these people started just like us. Like, if you're listening to this and you feel like, not me, how can it be me? Like, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a regular person with a regular job, the regular family. There's nothing, like, extraordinary about me. There's, like, no, like, everyone started off like that. It was when they made a choice to really feed into their convictions and really start moving forward with those convictions when it started to grow. Like, they started going into the unknown, trusting God that he was going to make a way, and not just make a way, that he was going to make them courageous and dangerous and be able to do what he's calling them to do. Because God is not calling you, we've said it so many times, he's not calling you to comfortability. He's calling you to uncomfortability. He's calling you to those places. Like, Charlie Kirk would openly go to these campuses and openly debate people and would have an open mic. He wouldn't, like, hey, let's pick and choose who's going to come up to the mic so it's more favorable for me. No, it's just like, whoever wants to get to this mic. He went on that that one thing, I forget what it's called, but where he basically debates like 20, what was it, like atheists or woke people or something like that. Like, and one of them was like a super smart kid. Like, he was going tit for tat with Charlie. And you could tell Charlie was getting a little frustrated because he's like, okay, like, this isn't the regular Joe that I'm used to, like, debating, right? And he was, like, unafraid and unshaken again. Like, and so we need much more of that, because if there is not enough people standing up, like, I'm sorry, but we're doomed. We're completely doomed. You know, is that part of God's plan? Maybe. Maybe. But seeing it as it is right now, it's like it's so much needed. Like, the right people in government need to be placed, the right people with influence need to be placed. Like, it's so important. And, like, yeah, it's sad that one of the good ones, or so it seems, one of the good ones was taken out. And now I don't know if I'm right in thinking this, but, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, like, people, you know, that don't really agree with Charlie Kirk and everything that he was doing, they're like, oh, no, nobody should be shot and nobody should be killed, and that shouldn't be part of, you know, this society. This shouldn't be something that is okay. But then, yeah, I go back to, it's part of the price of the gospel. And so with all these people standing up and saying, like, oh, I'm going to do this, like, really think about the price that you're going to pay. Because if you don't think about it now and you think about it later, you're just going to, like, all right, screw it. Like, I'm out. This is too costly. Like, think about it now. Like, people will persecute you. People will hate you. People will come after you. People will give you death threats. People will take shots at you. And that's, It's part of it. But yeah.
I do think, and I hope, and I think this is part of God's sovereignty, and again, that there's always, in the midst of Babylon, a Daniel, in the midst of Persia, an Esther, like, in the midst of people who don't know God, it just takes one person. And so knowing that, okay, there's still a lot of Christians, might be lukewarm Christians, but I feel like there's still people that are on fire for God. I'm not hopeless, because if, you know, Jesus said, and again, so much happened, and Charlie Kirk is not Jesus, but there are people, again, like I said, like, they're fired up, and because some could be emotions, but then some, I think, not all, it will just be emotions, and we just need one person. And if you got that and you put your, keep yourself accountable, like, I think God does a lot with a willing heart, even if it's in the few.
And that's the thing, is to say, I don't want to get stuck on that of you saying it just takes one person.
Well, yeah, because
then you have the mentality of like, 100%. Oh, it's not me and I'll wait for the next guy to do it.
Oh, 100%. But
And it's not just one person to revolutionize something. Like, again, the Bible says over and over again since the beginning of time, the sojourner, the widow, the fatherless, like, who's taking care of them?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, like, for hope is lost because you're like, oh, this world, that's where I'm like, hope is not lost. Because if there is just one person, now should it be one person? No. Everyone who's convicted, I truly believe if you are convicted and you know you are, and to not do anything about it, I feel like that's sin. You're like sin of omission.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we are called to be better every day, every area, like, as God's beloved. But I'm just saying, like, that's why I'm like, hope isn't lost. Because if it was, like, just one person left.
And what is your thought? And I think this will be the last thing that we talk about. But what is your thought on, like, when all this was happening and I was thinking about, you know, Charlie and dangerous, being dangerous and convictions and stuff. What is your thought on me thinking, or just the general thought of, if you aren't being persecuted or hated, or somebody's coming after you in a negative way, as a Christian, you aren't doing anything.
I agree. I think the Bible in today's day and age is so radical that if we aren't holding to it, then that means we're like watering it down.
Because in today's American church, like, it has really become, how do we get the most amount of people inside this church, right? And in order to, the strategy has become, in order to get more people inside this church, we need to offend as many people as possible.
Then you get the least amount of fired up Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. But you said, don't forget what you're going to say.
Okay.
But you said how Erwin McManus was like, I'm not going to pray for you for it to take away, but I'm going to pray for you to be more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how we should view, like, the first part of, we're like, I'm not going to pray for it to go away, Elijah. I'm praying that you're going to be a man that is self-disciplined, full on fire for God.
You went back to that point.
Like, that's not, I'm not saying,
listen,
like,
listen. I will give you this. That part, I'm speaking out of fear. Because, again, I see the statistics of the stronghold that all these things have. And not only that, now I'm putting both these points together. The herd mentality in America is real. Like, as a 13-year-old, if we tell Elijah, like, you can have a phone, but you're not having any of the social medias. And all of his friends are like, give me your Instagram. And he goes, I don't have one. Tell me this little boy is not going to be twitching over there like, I need Instagram. And here's the thing, right? And I'm putting both of these points together, because on the other side, we're talking about people with convictions and people, you know, doing like the right thing, and, you know, people who are opposed are going to come after you and stuff. Like, those people with convictions, those emotions right now, I'm going to go strong, blah, blah. And when they see that group growing, that is hating them, that's coming after them, that is not liking them, that is doing everything in their power, almost exactly like Psalms 23:5. The enemy's all around them. They start to see the enemy start to grow and surround them. And what are the enemies going to try to do? Distract them.
Yeah.
Make them feel like they're losing things. Make them feel like danger is like right around the corner or whatever, like scaring them. Anything possible.
Yes.
Herd mentality is real. And when they see that, because what is the whole point? Like, how did herd mentality all start? Like, it's something psychologically wired in us for the sake of safety. Because we go, if we're outliers and all by ourselves, we are much less protected than when we are within this humongous group.
My friends, and I'm going to use like lame examples, but everyone around me is like, Halloween is awesome. I was the only one in my classroom that's like, sorry, I don't celebrate that. Because my parents instilled that in me. And I honored my parents. I respected them. I believed them that they knew best for me. Till I was in middle school, high school, sorry, I don't celebrate Halloween. Like that, like what I feel sometimes funny saying it, yes, but I like stood my ground. Same thing with sex. It wasn't until I met you. But my whole life, everyone around me, there's no way you don't do it. You must do it. No, I don't believe you. No, I don't do it.
Yeah, but then we're also talking about personalities, right? There's some certain personalities, certain characteristics.
But you start seeing your kids.
That are more vulnerable to public opinion. Whereas you, I mean, for the ones who know you, you always carry some sort of chip on your shoulder. Like, tell me I can't? Bet, I'll show you that I can. Right?
Maybe.
It's mostly out of pride.
People think I'm like passive too and like more willing to like I am a people pleaser. I think it's how you're raised, what morals are instilled in you. And so my kids, that they're going to mess up and do stuff, yes. But am I going to live in fear of like, the world is evil. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, everything's going to take Elijah. Like, there'll be a time where I'm in my prayer closet. Like, I'm in my, no, I don't have a prayer closet. Like, just praying in the morning, 5 a.m. for that kid because he's going through something real and he'll come out of it. Like you have done, like I have done, because of the boundaries we have set, because of the teachings and by example we are leading, because of the community we decided to plug ourselves into, the school system, the friends that we're monitoring. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
What was the second thing where I told you don't forget? You forgot.
No, I forgot already.
I told you.
But yeah, honestly, let's leave off with that point of there is a huge necessity for people with convictions to really rise up and to be brave enough to know what the price that they're going to pay is. That people will dislike you, that you will feel like an outlier, that you will feel attacked.
Yep.
But that you are necessary, that you are needed, especially in America, 100%, like all those people. Like, and that's the thing as well. And that's what I was talking about before is, you know, we have all these men that are held like strongholds with pornography and all these people that like see all these things on Instagram and social media and stuff. And how I said, like, there's not enough leaders out there. There's not enough people taking care of people that are in need, you know? And even so, me speaking, I feel like that's even so premature from also me to be like, we need people with convictions to rise up. Because some people might have convictions. And then they go, well, I need somebody to show me the way. Because if not, you're going to have people with convictions that could be the type of people where they go, oh, I'm just going to speak my mind and I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if I'm disrespectful or not. Like, I'm going to speak truth and they feel convicted in that way, but they have nobody like molding them and like, that's not the way to do it, buddy. Like, you know, it's honestly, it's very few and far between the people that can truly read and interpret correctly the word of God and to be like, oh, okay, I get it. Most people need somebody like, you know, that are rough around the edges, like you need to be sanded a little bit, you know, like you'll be a lot more effective this way and that way and so on and so forth, right?
And a lot of people don't want to do the slow behind the scenes work of that conviction, because when you have a lot of conviction, you have a lot of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned 30, y'all. But I feel like I've grown so much in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, that's why I don't judge people who like Charlie Kirk, where I'm sure, I haven't seen them, but I'm sure there's videos where he had a bad day, maybe like a whole season where he didn't know how to communicate and he like hurt people and was being a Pharisee, like, and did more wrong than good. Like, I'm sure, like, he's a human, for goodness sakes. Because there's been seasons in my life where out of the zeal of God and the zeal of the Bible and saying, but I love the Bible, and like, I, to fellow Christians, which I'm like, oh my gosh, that's embarrassing. I've hurt people that I quote unquote said I loved or whatever. And so I'm like, if I did it thinking again, a good intention, like, how, if you're not put in that situation, like, how would anyone react if you're being attacked of what you believed in by others? And like, it's so much easier said than done. But point is, I grew from that and I'm growing from that because it's, we're humans. It's day by day. It's renewing of the mind. We're told to do daily, not weekly, yearly, every 5 years when you hit the next 10 years of your life. Like, it is daily because we are so weak-minded. And but behind that conviction, which is fire and power and excitement and high emotions, no one wants to do the slow work, the quiet work, the behind the scenes work of listening to the Holy Spirit, which takes hours, which takes reading, takes studying, takes discernment, takes, God, are you speaking to me? Like, let me hear your voice. Because I'm telling you, when you can hear his voice and when he confirms it and when you speak, when he tells you to speak, and like the positives that came from that, like, you're like, oh yeah, I don't want to speak again until he tells me to speak, because you know that, you know that you were backed up. And when you feel that backed up by God, like, that's such an awesome feeling that you're like, okay, God. And so I do think everyone is called, and our pastor has been saying this, like, everyone has an assignment and not everyone's going to look the same. So not everyone's called to be Charlie Kirk and like go to school and debate.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And I, like, I know I have a TikTok platform and I've been asking God, like, God, what do you, how do you want me to use it? Like, do you want me to be, because I know there's people on there who are so bold and just like, God, is that how you want me to use my platform? Because that's not how I really have I grown it. Like, because there's some people who with so much grace can reach the audience, or like, so it's like, what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to move, but I don't want to be fear too. And like, oh, I'm not moving until the Holy Spirit moves, and use it as a crutch, because you people can. But it's so important to be like, all right, God, when you're armed with the full armor of God, I'm like, I'm ready. Just listen to that general's command. Because if you do it prematurely, you're going to do so much more hurt than when you do it to expand God's kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, so at the conclusion of this episode, we just want to encourage you guys, be those people that rise up. Do it for this country. Do it for your children. Do it for the next generations. Like Grace was saying, what was the word that you were saying that in class? Transition? No, not transition. The good thing that your professor said that you said?
Cultivate.
Yes. Cultivating takes time. And so it might not be this next generation. It might be the one after that or the one after that. But it takes people who, to rise up now to affect those next generations. And so we need you. This country needs you. The next generation needs you. Like, it's much needed. Truth needs to rise up. People of God need to rise up. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you need a mentor, look for a mentor. If you need help, look for help. You always have the word. You always have prayer. And like Grace said, being led by the Holy Spirit, taking times of meditation, taking times of silence, and just being open-eared and open-hearted. Be like, God, wherever it is that you want to send me whatever it is that you want me to say, I'll say. I have my heart open to you. Move me how you want to move me. Here I am. It's so, so needed. And I feel like there is a hunger and thirst for it, even for people who have before like rejected the gospel. I think there's a shift starting to happen in regards to like people are coming back to like Christ is the only way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, please, let's all be those dangerous, courageous people that stands up for truth. This was a great conversation. It's great to be back. And also in the parts of the debate where me and Grace were debating, we'd love to know your opinion.
Who won the debate?
Everyone likes you more, so they're going to say that you won.
That's not true. Guys, show him some love.
No, but let us know your opinions as well. I mean, get the comments fired up. I think this was a good episode. I really wanted to touch on it. I think it's so important. There was a little piece of me that didn't want to, like, you could tell, you know, like there's these YouTube channels and stuff that just ride the name of Charlie Kirk. Like, oh, he died and now we have a reason to put his name on one of the things because he's like the most talked about like thing. And so we're going to get a bunch of views. Like I didn't want to do that. But I do feel like this conversation was very much needed. And I don't think I personally could have moved forward with the rest of the episodes without having to touch on this. Like it felt wrong to keep going with other episodes without touching on this. But yeah, we thank you so much for the time that you took to listen to this episode. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We're praying for you guys. And if you guys could take just a small 1 to 2 seconds to like, subscribe, follow, and share, that'd be greatly appreciated. We love you guys, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.